Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Today, Joe Biden wants to put Americans back on welfare. The NSA gives a very peculiar denial on spying on Tucker Carlson, and CNN congrats the Chinese Communist Party on their anniversary, because I guess it's just really cool to give a congrats to a party who just likes to, you know, imprison. Well, we'll get into it later. We've got a lot coming up today, and it starts right now. Welcome to the News and Why It Matters. I'm Sarah Gonzalez. We have a full table today, so we need to get right into it. We've got Yaku Bullions, host of the Yaku Bullions show. We've got Eric July, Blaze TV contributor. And we also have joining us again, Chandler Crump, Gen Z commentator. So we're happy to have all of you here. If you do catch COVID, it's not our fault. So back to
which variant though?
Yeah. Who's afraid of COVID?
The gamma.
We talking gamma. Delta, gamma, epsilon. Lambda. Yeah, there's an epsilon now too.
No.
Oh, okay.
It will be soon enough.
Exactly. Just wait. But whatever you do, don't call it the Chinese virus. All right. So let's get into the headlines. So the American Families Plan, apparently, these are analysts that have predicted that. Of course, this is President Biden's signature plan. The American Families Plan would add 21 million Americans to federal benefit programs. Now, this is a $1.8 trillion omnibus bill. So it would be two-parent households with two preschool-age children and incomes up to $130,000 would qualify for federal cash assistance for daycare. Single parents with preschoolers and incomes up to $113,000 would qualify. So they're drastically expanding this welfare state. 57% of all married couple children would receive handouts. 80% of single-parent households would enter the entitlement rolls. And I think that, you know, it's interesting because I maybe previously was not such a cynical person, but you see this and you have to believe that this is intentional, you know, putting people just the way that they're rolling out the child tax care credit, the way that they're kind of fronting that money, they're giving it now in advance. They want to give it to you in advance so that when you take it away, what's the messaging there? We've seen what the messaging is when you have Obamacare, that Republicans say, hey, guys, this isn't working. We need to repeal it. And the messaging is the Republicans are trying to take your money. They're trying to take your health care away. They want you to die in the streets. Every single time we see this. And here we are again with Joe Biden's signature legislation that he wants to pass, this omnibus bill, this $1.8 trillion, as my friend Chad Prather yesterday pointed out, is just not even like a recognizable number when you think about how large that number really is. That would be putting that many more, 21 million more people onto welfare.
Yeah, I want to go real fast because we've got a full house. So good to be with you, okay? It's such an honor.
Does he give you hope for the future?
No, it's such an honor to be with a young mind that's I'm going to say it on the show, that's got some chutzpah, enough, you know, kahunas to do something. But I'll say this real quick. A welfare state is the predicator or the predecessor to a failed state around the world. It's coming, right? If you look at the British doll, the second they went on the doll, the British welfare system, and they said, here's the doll, skyrocketed, went north of 50. The day they crossed 50% of welfare, of the populace being on welfare, they lost their country. It's gone. You go to London today and you look at the welfare state, it's insane. You can't get people to take a job, keep a job, and that's where we're going in this country. When you start incentivizing people to not work, which is what this is, you're making them a slave. That's the right word, a slave of the government, and that's what they want. So that when you yank that pacifier from the baby, right, they'll do whatever you tell them to do, whatever. I mean, it's a complete submission, because I have not anywhere in the world seen you roll the clock back on welfare. Mm-hmm. Ever have we seen that successfully? Yeah. They tried in London a little bit, and they go like, nope, the resistance was too high. People said, we'll just strike. Unions will strike. All of a sudden, the trucks don't drive. Nothing works, right? So this is so dangerous, but it's by design. They know what they're doing. 100% they know.
Yeah, we saw during the COVID lockdowns the way that they incentivized people to literally not work, with the constant overbearing STEMI checks coming over and over again. And then you'd see on culture, you know, Black Twitter, they'd always be posting, you know what I spent my STEMI check on? I spent it getting some lobster in that new PS5 instead of actually using it what it was supposed to be used for.
And so
investing it like a lot of people did, but not enough, obviously. Yeah. And so it's clear that they're going to keep going with the same system of sending Americans money for being, I don't know, citizens, being contributing members of society? I don't think so, because if you're getting money mailed to you every week from or every month or so, what was it? It was like every month from the government. What incentive do you have to work? Because people were actually making more money from the STEMI checks than they were actually working at their jobs, because their jobs weren't actually producing anything. And so it's really clear to see that it's not a good thing to keep producing and to keep encouraging. And the Biden administration knows why they're doing it, just like you were saying, it to get people weak and not wanting to do anything, to get that pacifier onto the baby. And then when they take it away, well, you just become a slave to the government once again.
Yeah, it is interesting, Eric, because, you know, I see this happening. You know, I mean, restaurants are in trouble as it is, because they can't hire people because they're, turns out, they're making more money just sitting at home, as Chandler pointed out. And then you see the Joe Biden coming out and saying, well, I mean, maybe people should just pay more. Maybe companies just need to be paying people more money.
And it's like,
right. So it's like, okay, so now we're artificially inflating people's salaries then? Is this the way that we get to federal minimum wage? Like, what game are you guys playing? And how long do you think that this can play out before the entire system just collapses?
Well, it's dependency, and most people are stupid. That's just what this all boils down to, is that if you incentivize their bad behavior, you're of course going to get more of this. But this is by design, not only by that party, but the welfare status, in that they want people dependent. Well, you mentioned it before the show, right before the show started, when it came to Obamacare, it was the same thing. Mm-hmm. Just immediately, once it got implemented, you know how difficult it was to try to take that away. What do? They start fear-mongering, all that sort of stuff. This is exactly what's going to happen now, where you're adding additional people to the welfare state who are leeching off of really the people that are actually working, as well as future generations that are going to be paying for this going into the future.
Not excited for that.
Yeah, man. I mean, those are the people that are really going to feel the brunt of this, because they're just, again, borrowing all of this money to pay for this. Look, this is detrimental to your economy. You've mentioned this. No, there's no such thing as a welfare state, unfortunately, being rolled back. And this is what we're going to see 5 years from now. The Republicans will try to meet them halfway or something like that. And then we're still going to have this bloated welfare statism, because once you start crossing that bridge, you just have to keep on being dedicated to it, unfortunately, because they're going to be successful in being able to fear-monger, because it's going to be like, well, you're basically taking food out of this person's mouth in the event that they add all these people to it, but then you want to take them away. This is not a sustainable thing, obviously, going into the future. And of course, the people, the leeches, this is the problem with democracy. Yeah, yeah. This is the problem with the state. The leeches will continue to ask for that, because you're giving them something for nothing. Mm-hmm. They don't have to produce anything. You're telling them that your only qualification, and then obviously the great Walter E. Williams, as well as Thomas Sowell, has been talking about this for so long. That's exactly what the welfare state is. It says, as long as you meet this barrier, we're going to give you all of this money. The minute you get above it, well, we're going to take it all away from you. Yeah. And that's what's going to end up happening. So, of course, people aren't going to want to be as productive as they potentially can be, because, well, the government's just going to pay for them to do everything.
So let's talk about that for a second, because we have another part of this Joe Biden, all of the money that he wants to spend. Well, your money, right? All of our money, not his money, but your money, right? It's not his. He's not going to be with us for much longer, I don't think. Only because people don't live to be, 200 years old.
They call him the Titanic for a reason.
Right. So, not that I'm hoping for that, but it just, people get old and then they die. So he doesn't have to worry about that. Everyone else does. But Joe Biden talking about this, and this is another, the infrastructure deal. I mean, all of his plans cost exorbitant amounts of money, and you may be out there wondering how the hell we're going to pay for it. Well, Joe Biden was speaking to these people over in Wisconsin about this infrastructure deal, and he made a comment about people who were a little more wealthy and how he just doesn't mind if your taxes go up. Watch.
All of you making over $400,000, I love you. But I don't mind a little bit if your taxes go up a little bit. But all kidding aside, I made a commitment. Nobody, I would not support anything that raised a penny in tax and someone make under 400 grand. And that means in this bill, there is no gas tax.
So, of course, Joe Biden wants to, thinks he's going to pay for all of, well, I can't say Joe Biden thinks anything, but whoever is pulling the strings thinks that they are going to just raise the top individual tax rate from 37% to 39.6% and raise the capital gains tax rate from a maximum of 20% to 39.6%.
That's the most rotten one.
That is
for people earning more than $1 million each year. And then, of course, let's not forget that the 15% minimum corporate tax rate. I mean, it's just, it goes on and on. But even as we're talking about all of these taxes that he would add, it's like, no, I don't think those calculations will still add up to all of the money you plan on spending in all of these bills.
Reserve, don't
it? Yeah, yeah.
That's how it works. They get to spend money that they don't have. And that's the part that flies generally over the head of the average individual is that they don't understand that. You mentioned $1.8 trillion. Imagine that amount of money and people just become so numb to it. Like, it's like, what is it?
Right.
That's a lot of money. And like you mentioned, the numbers don't have to add up. They, of course, don't add up. There's no way that they're going to be able to get all of that money just from even raising taxes on the people that they claim that they're going to want to raise it on. But they know that they don't have to do that. And this is what people need to understand about the government, or rather the state, and how it functions. It's not a producer. So if you wonder why like it just breathes inefficiency and why just throwing money at the problem is never the solution, it's not like people at this table where we have to provide something for our customers in order for us to get some sort of money. The minute that we don't, the money, it goes away. Governments doesn't play, they don't play by that rule. They can print it out of thin air, which again makes us and future generations pay for it in addition to taxing. So this is why they can just throw out these insane amount of numbers and it's like, well, it's whatever. I'm not going to pay. Like you mentioned, Joe Biden's not going to be with us longer. So he's not going to, when it does end up collapsing, or rather that bubble ends up popping, he's not going to feel any of this. And a lot of people that are the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, they're not going to feel any of this. This is the future generations, which is hilarious. Because they're the ones that claim to care so much about the kids and everything else. Like, they're going to be broke. Mm. I mean, I'll almost use another term, but they're going to be really, really broke going into the future.
We're going to be shoveling dollars out of
sewers.
Zimbabwe,
it's
going to be in the way.
That's exactly it. It is Zimbabwe. And look, here's the issue. If you have to produce, and we're not producing at the rate we're spending, of course. We're about to put the country into hyperinflation, which is the only way to recover, which you can't really recover. Here's what happens. When you stress a country the way you're stressing it right now financially, you're by default outsourcing production because you can't keep up, because you have to start charging more for elements, because now the restaurant's saying, listen, we can't make ends meet. The $10 meal is now $15. Now all of a sudden people stop working there, so now you're outsourcing. Yep. This is how we enrich China. Yep. This is how Joe Biden is enriching his buddies around the world. You don't go out and make a policy and say, look, I'm just going to give our country to China. I'm just going to put our country in a hyperinflation state. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to make it impossible for the American producer to produce locally. Now he has to outsource. Now it's pay for play. Now all of a sudden it's, I take care of my friends in the Middle East. And this is how you do it in broad daylight. Throwing money in a hole never fixes the hole, number one. One thing I want to mention with three beautiful people here that are of different race, okay? At what point does the American people realize the attack on the black community, on the Latino community in this country has always been an attack through money and through welfare?
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Why would they change their colors now? They've been able to keep you under their thumb, literally, historically, through welfare.
Yep. Yeah,
so where are the voices other than these voices in the community? You know, this is where I want logic to set in, where your, let's say your Will Smiths, your LeBron Jameses, your influential guys to come and say, listen, man, I'm a product of capitalism. Yeah. My name's LeBron James. This is not how it's done, young man. You don't want to take a welfare check.
Right.
You want to own the business one day. And so it's a ploy and a play to keep those under that have been under. And it's a buying of votes. Again, always, they buy votes.
Yeah, Chandler, last word on this.
Yeah, it's worked for decades, this whole welfare state, and they use it directly to attack every community in different ways. And so I think there are plenty of ways that it's attacking the white community that nobody even knows about. And we can see clearly the ways that it has attacked the black community and the Latina community. And it's really dangerous to see an administration and a president who we know has a history of being involved in these things directly, whether it be his disgusting crime bills or everything he's done. You know, there's a wide history of that, of all that stuff. And the things he said as well. We know what he stands for, and we know that right now he's not really standing for anything, but his staff is definitely keeping that legacy going.
Yeah. All right, we've got more to come. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Omega XL. So if you are just living your life in pain, maybe it's neck pain, shoulder pain, whatever the case may be, it doesn't have to be that way. What you might not know is that the underlying cause is inflammation is usually what is at the root of people's pain. And unless you're defeating the inflammation, you can cause permanent damage, or you just go to you go to rub on one of those creams and it feels really awesome for 10 minutes and then it wears off and you're in pain again. You don't have to live like that. All right. Omega XL is backed by 35 years of clinical research, and it actually attacks the inflammation that is causing your pain. It gets to that root cause of the problem, neutralizing it and solving it for you. It is made from the essential fatty acids. They're fatty acids from the pristine waters of New Zealand, which a lot of you out there, I know, I'm going to be sexist for a second and say men out there don't think that natural things work. Ha ha ha, not so fast. This does, and it's natural. All right, let's get you started. Order Omega XL now. You will get a second bottle for free if you go to omegaxl.com/news. That is omegaxl.com/news. We brought to you earlier this week the story of Tucker Carlson, who alleged that the NSA was spying on him. He said a whistleblower had come forward and told him not only that they were spying on him, but gave him information that this person would have only achieved by getting some sort of, you know, Tucker Carlson's emails, text messages, and that sort. Now, I will tell you, the NSA did respond to these allegations that they were surveilling Tucker Carlson, but I want you to listen very closely to the words that they chose in their statement. They said, on June 28th, 2021, Tucker Carlson alleged that the National Security Agency has been, quote, monitoring our electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take this show off the air, end quote. This allegation is untrue. We'll come back to that in a second. Tucker Carlson has never been an intelligence target of the agency, and the NSA has never had any plans to try to take this program off the air. NSA has a foreign intelligence mission. We target foreign powers to generate insights on foreign activities that could harm the United States. With limited exceptions, e.g. an emergency, the NSA may not target a U.S. citizen without a court order that explicitly authorizes the targeting. Now, this is curious. Call me cynical. Once again, call me cynical here, guys. But it is interesting that they quoted him saying that they have been monitoring his electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take the show off the air. And then they say that allegation, this allegation is untrue. Well, which one? There were several ones that were portrayed in there. By the way, Tucker Carlson has never been an intelligence target of the agency. That is peculiar as well. Let's go ahead and play really quickly Tucker Carlson responding to these NSA denying the allegations, and then I want to get your thoughts, gentlemen.
Just minutes before air tonight, the NSA sent us an infuriatingly dishonest formal statement, an entire paragraph of lies written purely for the benefit of the intel community's lackeys at CNN and MSNBC, all those people they hire with the titles on the screen. They also tweeted it out a few minutes ago. Now, last night on the show, we made a very straightforward claim. NSA has read my private emails without my permission, period. That's what we said. Tonight's statement from the NSA does not deny that. Instead, it comes with this non sequitur. In part, quote, Tucker Carlson has never been an intelligence target of the agency. Okay, glad to know. But the question remains, did the Biden administration read my personal emails? That's the question that we asked directly to NSA officials when we spoke to them about 20 minutes ago in a very heated conversation. Did you read my emails? And again, they refused to say.
So, I mean, I think that it would have been very easy for the NSA to release a statement saying we have not, you know, gotten a hold of Tucker Carlson's emails and read them without his knowledge. Instead, they released this bizarre statement on Twitter that really just, I think, adds more questions to the ongoing allegations. Chandler, I'm going to give you a stab at this first.
It really shows me that we have arrived at a very Orwellian place in our government. That statement read like something out of the Hunger Games. You know, they don't explicitly deny it. And the fact that they don't is basically admission that they have indeed been spying on Tucker Carlson. The only thing they denied is that it's for the purpose. It's not for the purpose of taking his show off the air. Right. So this blatant dishonesty and this blatant surveillance, and personally, I don't know about you guys, but I 100% believe and buy that the NSA, with whatever reason they have, whatever, you know, terrible reason they could come up with, wouldn't indeed be spying on Tucker Carlson. And the fact that the NSA whistleblower even read back facets and information of what they had discovered to Tucker Carlson, I can only imagine like what kind of moment that is. Like, I can imagine Tucker Carlson sitting at his office, getting a text from an NSA whistleblower, and he reads back a message that Tucker had sent to his producer. Can you imagine something like that? That's where our nation is at this point. Yeah. It hasn't even been half a year, has it? Or maybe it's been, you know, a few months of the Biden administration. We have not gotten so far, but yet we've arrived at this place already. It's one of the most insane things I've ever seen in my lifetime, and I'm only 16. I'm not even two decades old yet, and this is where we are already.
And this, of course, is Eric, coming from the administration who said explicitly that they would not be doing that, that they would not be spying on journalists, that they also that they were going to have the most transparent administration ever.
The transparent NSA, those don't belong in the same conversation. Right. But I don't know why we even like. Acting as if we would be surprised that the NSA of all people would be caught spying on Americans. That's what the hilarious thing about the latter half of that message is. You've already been, I mean, plenty of whistleblowers come. What do you think the Snowdens and all them other world came about from? What do you, what institutions do you think were involved in that? The NSA. So, of course, that in itself isn't surprising. But, yes, this is all about rhetoric. This is what they do. They gaslight, the red herring. Of course, they're going to not answer the question directly. So what they basically were saying, like, it wasn't for this purpose. He's not a target, but that doesn't mean we ain't seeing emails. But we're just saying that he's not necessarily a target. Instead of directly saying, okay, no, this is not what it is that we're doing. Look, this isn't anything new when it comes to the NSA. In fact, it's more safe to assume that they are. You are on a list. I got to be on a few of their lists. With the NSA, all the crazy stuff that I say, at least according to their standards. So it's not unreasonable, especially with the administration that's now in power. So who is essentially giving them the marching orders? It's not necessarily bizarre that someone like that, definitely that's influential on the opposite side of the political spectrum, would be spied upon.
Yeah, look, thank you. Let's get real. And it doesn't matter who's in the White House, okay? The NSA spies on American people, not just Tucker Carlson, historically. So does the CIA operate ops on domestic soil, although they're a foreign agency, right? Here's the reason. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA do not answer to the White House. There is a deeper state. There is a higher authority than the President of the United States in this country. And the sooner we realize that there are puppet masters, the top 300 families in this country and the world that really pull the strings, that absolutely controls the NSA and the CIA and the FBI. We had Trump in the White House and it was not his FBI. It was not his FBI. We had Trump in the White House. It was not his NSA. It wasn't even Obama's. It's above Obama. It's above the office of the president. Now we got to roll the clock way back to the inception of the FBI and really go look at why these organizations were established, much akin to Mossad in Israel. They do not answer to the premier of Israel, okay? There is a higher authority where they control ebb and flow certain things. So absolutely, for all we know, it's all of us. The general American population, they are constantly surveying. This time around, you've got hard proof and evidence to nail it to the wall, paper, not Jell-O, and say, here's a fact. Now, America, what we thought was happening, here's proof. Tucker, an outspoken individual, now saying they are reading my emails, and it's plausible deniability. Mm. You give a statement without giving a statement.
Yeah.
You don't talk about the emails. Just go, you're not a national security target.
Right.
I can tell you that.
Right. Well, and then
but I can't tell you that we've gone through your trash and your kids, you know, your kids' school records and whatever. Yeah. But you're not a target.
Also, I'm going to give you like three different statements that you made and say, well, this allegation is untrue. Like, well, which one? You just included three of them. All right. We've got more to come, including the CNN congratulating the Chinese Communist Party on all their great work over there sterilizing people, I guess. We've got more on that. After the break, first, we want to thank our sponsor, Built Bar. So if you have not yet tried a Built Bar, you are missing out. These are protein bars, but they taste like candy bars, okay? So you're going to have a great tasting snack without feeling like you have to go spend an hour in the gym afterwards to make up for it. You don't have to feel guilty. It's not going to expand your waistline. We know you're going to go in your pantry and you're going to find something. You don't want it to be the Snickers bar, all right? So put Built Bar in there instead. It is high in protein. It is high in fiber. It is low in calories. It is low in carbs. You are going to thank me later. As many of you out there have, you guys keep sending in your, you're like, I love hate you now, Sarah, because now you've gotten me addicted to Built Bar. And I love them, but I keep buying them. So I'm like, you're welcome, because now you have something healthy to snack on. And you've got a ton of different flavors to choose from over there, by the way. So you will not run out of new flavors to try. You can go to the new URL. It's built.com. Use promo code news15. You will save 15% off your first order if you use promo code news15 over at built.com. I know for those of you out there, you probably are not, if you're watching this program, you're like really smart and in tune with what's going on in the world and have absolutely no reason to watch CNN. So sometimes we feel the need to just give you just a little flicker of what you're missing over at CNN, the, of course, communist news network, or I guess I should say China news network, I don't know, whichever one. They tweeted out, CNN International's Twitter account tweeted out, the Chinese Communist Party is about to turn 100, but Xi will be the real star, which is just, incredible. Just an incredible statement to make amid, you know, what we talked, Chandler, when you were on the program a couple days ago, we talked about how YouTube was censoring all of these undercover videos that were uncovering all of the human rights abuses that China is currently, you know, engaged in. But the Communist Party is about to turn 100. So
I guess CNN just doesn't see that. They don't really care about the genocide. They don't really care about the people being thrown in camps and prison. They don't care about that. It's all about their great ally and friend, President Xi Jinping. In fact, I think that's a more glowing statement, a more happy, you know, proud, positive thing they gave to Xi Jinping than they ever gave to the sitting president of the United States at the time, Trump.
That's a great point.
They were happier with Xi Jinping, the authoritarian, autocratic president of a nation which has been proven to be committing a genocide against one of its minorities within its borders, and they are happier about that. I think that says a lot about that so-called reputable news nation that we, or a news station that we all are supposed to be listening to.
It does, it does. And Eric, to add to his point, I mean, they did call Trump the fascist.
This is why you can't take any of, zero. Obviously the CNN, you can't take them seriously at all. And look, get it, human rights violations are happening within these borders by way of the state, and you can at least talk about that. But that's why it's so hilarious for CNN to cover it in the way that they cover, because yeah, we know that's happening in other spots, but they're highlighting Xi as if he's like the beacon of, I don't know what hope, you say calls him the star. CCP has a lot of, I mean, good luck trying to dethrone Mao. If we're talking star of what, killing people, what exactly is he supposed to be the star of? But you bring up a great point in that when it comes to the previous president, they had almost nothing. Even right now, I was on there. Yes, I know I'm looking for content. That's why I was on CNN's website, looking to see what other stupid stuff they say. And they still talk about Trump in really the same form and fashion that they did before. I mean, I guess that has to do probably with clicks, or rather
they
with
ratings. They really need it.
They're desperate. CNN's desperate more than anything of that. But man, this is amazing. More so because of how the conversation is so controlled around China, where it's like, anybody that comes out in opposition to it, this is why they immediately claim you as, I don't know, being racist or something. When you talk about the origins of even like a virus of this magnitude, it's kind of bizarre. So it does make it sound, at minimum, like there is some sort of relationship between the Chinese government as well as CNN, because they speak entirely too positive of China. It's weird, man.
Weird. So here's what you do in life. You call your friends on their birthdays. You congratulate your friends, not strangers. You show up for their parties. You celebrate them. You speak well of them. And this is why this is happening. You got to follow the money. The same money that funds CNN funds multiple operations in China. The links are so strong. And here's the real keynote. The reason Xi is their star is because he is their role model of how to run a socialist state, a communist state. And this is where they want to take our country. He is literally their hero, their beacon. Not just the organization CNN, the puppets, those funding it, those behind it, the same puppeteers, right? So they, of course, they're going to congratulate him because that's what they want. They want that. That's the ideal. And also, may I say, that's also their bailout bill. Hear me today. Because China is doing it around the world. Presidents are folding, flopping like fish around the world to China. China will show up in America when this administration has broken us financially, and they will throw cash into this country, and they will sell your birthright, okay, to China. They know. That's the beacon. That's the new superpower financially. And so we better stay close to them because they're going to come bail us out when the monopoly money we're printing, right, can't be paid back.
Yeah.
So this is 100% Joe Biden, his administration, and CNN sucking up to their hero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gee, so think about that for a second. That's the ideal.
Yeah. I find it so difficult to wrap my head around CNN embracing Xi Jinping because they put out all those ads saying, oh, we stand for the free press, we stand for honesty, we stand for transparency. Don't they realize that if and when China comes and rises to strong power, and you notice that China has had a lot of investments into American farmland. They own almost as much farmland as Bill Gates does, and that's a lot. So they're investing a lot into America. They want to conquer this nation in any way, shape, and form they can as a form of revenge and expansionism as far as what their borders are and what they expand themselves to. Doesn't CNN realize that if China comes to power, they're not going to exist anymore, at least not in the current form? It will literally be the Chinese news network, no more cable, no more honesty. It's just reporting what the state tells you to report. Doesn't CNN realize that they're fighting against their exact own interests?
Yeah, well, that's fair. Although I have to say, it wouldn't change too much from what they're already doing. They just at least have a choice in the matter now.
Yeah.
They won't then. All right, let's move topics over to Representative Ilhan Omar, who was pressed by Jake Tapper about her recent controversial statements, who some might call anti-Semitic. She kind of have a history. She has a history of making these outlandish, offensive statements. Here is what she had to say on whether or not she regretted comparing the United States to Israel and Hamas terrorists. Watch.
Do you understand why some of your fellow House Democrats, especially Jews, find that language anti-Semitic?
I have welcomed any time, my colleagues have asked to have a conversation, to learn from them, for them to learn from me. I think it's really important for these members to realize that they haven't been partners in injustice. They haven't been, equally engaging in seeking justice around the world.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Beautiful. Here's a Somali Muslim who historically, her heritage, can't stand the Jews. You could just go, let's go back 2, 3, 4, 7 generations. Let's go to Somalia, okay? Radicalized. I'm talking radical. Central African band is radical at the moment. Cannot stand Israel. Will bomb the daylight out of Israel tomorrow if they had, the wherewithal, right? She's speaking for that community. Let's go look at her own community. Let's go to northern Minnesota. Let's go to the University of Minnesota and go look at what's happening on that campus in the northern region of the campus. How some of the Jewish community won't go to certain classes because it's on the northern border, because it's radicalized by her constituents or people. She, She couldn't care less. And then to come and say, well, they haven't done as much as I've done internationally. You've sown chaos internationally. You've sown chaos in our country. You offend now. Look, it's a pretty mean feat to offend your own party if you're a liberal.
That's
because
fair.
Because they will defend you. You murder people in cold blood on camera. They'll say, you're not seeing straight. Mm-hmm. She didn't do it. And for them to turn against her on this, to go, hey, listen, maybe you crossed a line here.
Yeah.
Tells us also it's a little foreshadowing of where that party is going, and I'm concerned about that party for this particular point. There's an exit to be an ally of Israel in our country at the moment, a massive exit. And for me, the spiritual ramifications of that, the hand of God on this nation, that is a battle you don't want to pick up.
Yeah. In Ilhan's statement right there, she said that she and other people had learned from her. But I think the only thing we've really learned from what she's ever said is that she truly hates this nation and despises most people that live here.
Mm-hmm. Also, Eric, also, last word on this, also that she married her brother.
I mean, this is, it's not just with her. I've always, I mean, I want to say admire, but it's fascinating, let's say that, how they have been able to pin, like, being the whole anti-Jewish on the opposite party, considering the stuff that they get to get away with saying. Now, I'm not even making the claim that she is being anti-Semitic. I'm just saying people have said less with R's next to their name.
Right.
And they get called everything in the book. Meanwhile, folks like her say really crazy things that absolutely end up in, like, the you know, with some sort of conflicts, like we mentioned before, with the rise of attack on Jewish people, and then she just gets away with it. That's impressive.
Yeah, it is. All right, we've got more to come. First, we want to thank new sponsor of the show, Hunter Douglas. So if you guys are in need of some new blinds, new shades, new shutters, they have unique shade designs that actually transform raw sunlight. It casts this really gorgeous glow across the space, brightens the dark corners of the room. They've got these really advanced fabrics that provide clear views to the outside of your home while providing, you know, your privacy inside, because you don't want people to see inside, but you want to be able to see outside and you want to let that light in. They've got energy efficient shades that lead the industry. They provide insulation against heat and cold. You've got year-round comfort. And let me just tell you, you're going to see the savings on your utility bills. But let me tell you what the most exciting part is. It is their PowerView automated shade system. You can transform your program your shades to move automatically throughout the day based on what you want. So like at 2 o'clock, if the sun is in a certain place and you want to block it, you can make sure that at 2 o'clock, the shades go down a little bit, you know, protect your floor from casting this giant glow on their giant shine. All right. This is super, super, super advanced technology, a really awesome and beautiful addition to any home. Visit hunterdouglas.com/Y today for your free Style Gets Smarter design guide. They've got new creative ideas, smart solutions for dressing your windows. I'm telling you guys, especially if your house is maybe a little bit older and you haven't upgraded your blinds or your shutters or your shades in a while, you can make your home look like a completely different house just with these shades. You can go to hunterdouglas.com/Y. San Jose became the first city in the nation to require gun owners to compensate taxpayers for firearm violence. So, you know, you may be thinking, if I don't live in San Jose, I don't need to care about this story. But let me just tell you, what starts in San Jose? Let's see what happens, because they are the first city, but I don't think that they will be the last when you look at the Democrat-run cities and what they are doing right now. So this was a unanimous vote that we assume is going to be challenged by some pro-gun organizations. But the San Jose City Council passed ordinances to require every gun owner to buy liability insurance coverage for their firearms. Gun owners would also be required to pay a fee to compensate taxpayers for the emergency medical and police responses to gun-related injuries and deaths. They, by the way, have not decided on how much gun owners will be required to pay. They're waiting for a gun harm study that is being done to figure out what they want to set that number at. But this institute that they are using estimated that gun-related homicides, suicides, and other shootings cost San Jose around $63 million annually. Gentlemen, who'd like to go first on this?
Our legal system is, I'll be short. Our legal system is written on precedent. This sets precedent, so you're right. this comes into action. Even, look, they aim here, and even if they get a smaller victory, it's a victory. Now it's precedent. Now your ambulance chasing scumbag lawyers across the country can go make the case and go, well, San Jose. So it sets precedent. This is a gun tax. Let's call it what it is. This is Beto O'Rourke, who says, I'll buy your guns, and if you won't sell it to me, I'm just going to tax you per item. Each magazine, each gun, we're just going to, this is a gun tax. So if I can't break the Second Amendment, they'll just financially push the gun owner into oblivion so he can't own weapons anymore and defend himself.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this is insulting, and their reasoning for it or what they think that they're doing is even more insulting, because they're acting as if the gun owners out there in San Jose are stupid, because the guns that are being utilized generally in these, if we're talking about actual acts of aggression, at, you know, removing suicide from it, but, you know, homicide and murder, that has nothing to do with the more responsible gun owners. So right now, all you're effectively doing is punishing them. This is how it starts with so many other different licensing and all mm-hmm. sorts of things, where it effectively makes it not even, we don't want to jump through all these hoops just to be able to own a weapon. And when you need it, you don't have it. There you go. But that's what this is that they're assuming that the people are stupid. And I wouldn't be surprised if folks try to mimic that, especially in these Uber blue cities, where they're trying to require people to get certain licensing and all sorts of things just because they own a weapon, just because there's another problem that has absolutely nothing to do with the responsible gun owner. So the person that goes to work, minds their own business every single day, that owns a gun for the sake of protecting themselves, now is being punished for rising homicide. Like, that doesn't, there's no even link a link there. You're just punishing people for owning guns. Let's just call it what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being a gun owner today is starting to seem a lot like being an unvaccinated person. You are treated like a dreg of society. You were treated like a criminal. Like you said, they are trying to punish the average citizen who is exercising one of their constitutionally defended rights given by their creator to defend themselves and to have a well-regulated militia. They're punishing the people that are engaging in this for other people who may not be following it for the exact same reasons, that may commit crimes, violent homicides, all those different things. And it's a lot like President Biden calling getting your vaccine a patriotic duty. Is that implying that people that are not vaccinated are not patriots? They don't stand for this nation? They don't stand by, the flag? I mean, I think we've seen some vaccinated people who refuse to stand by the flag, you know, Ilhan Omar, Gwen Berry, they're very similar in my opinion, that they do not stand by this nation and they do not stand by this flag. And yet Biden is the very first one to come out there and clap for them. And, you know, I'm sure if he knew about that, if, you know, somebody asks Jen Psaki her opinion and how President Biden feels about that San Jose thing right there, I'm sure he'd clap that up and beg for some chocolate chip ice cream, because we all know nobody is really thinking anymore. Yeah. I mean, if that's able to get passed, and you said by a majority, we're in big trouble. And just look at this from the lens of, you know, like you said, precedent. 10, 20 years from now, imagine how difficult it is going to be to own a gun. Yeah. And imagine all the people that are going to move out of San Jose, move to Texas, and move to Georgia, but bring in the exact same ideas and vote exact same crap in, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, wherever they move themselves. And imagine that exact same, you know, that exact same act being pushed. It's not going to be good.
Yeah. All right. We got to take a break. We'll be back. I also am told that if you put any additional requirements on anything, like... Hey, don't forget, those of you who are watching, wherever you are watching this program, you gotta go over to wherever you get your audio podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review The News and Why It Matters. It will take 2 seconds, and it will help more people be able to find the show, because what we want in this world is more people watching and listening to The News and Why It Matters, and less people watching and listening to CNN, the Chinese news network. All right, that's what we need in this world. Let's make it happen. Also, if you write us a good review, you may see it read live on air, like the one today from Footy Works. I don't know. Where do you guys come up with these? I don't know. Sometimes I can't read them. Sometimes I read them
and
I'm like,
it's 5 stars,
what?
Okay?
No, I know, but I just, you know what? It is funny though, because sometimes when you come up with the screen name and you're like,
witty words.
I don't know. I'm just going to write something kind of ridiculous and go with it. All right. Where I get my news, this show and Louder with Crowder are the two shows I listen to every day. Love them both and love Sarah and her guests each week, especially the proud libertarian, Mr. Eric July. Also loved his comments about Ron Paul in episode 804. Agreed 100%. Keep up the good work. Great work. And I strongly recommend this podcast. Thank you, and what a compliment to be put in the same category as Louder with Crowder. We appreciate it. Remember, get your reviews in, guys.
Thanks for listening to The News and Why It Matters. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to watch the program, become a Blaze TV subscriber and start your free trial now at blazetv.com.